This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
It's a wonderful day.
What is a wonderful day?
It's so wonderful because we've got a little bit of sun.
Yeah, you know, it got a little bit cold and chilly this past week, and then now we're in the middle of a warming trend, and so now I think we'll see some temperatures in the 60s and 70s again. So that'll be kind of nice, which is actually, I think, a little bit above average. However, you never know, because any time it could drop down into the 30s and then into the 20s and the teens at night, so I still feel like cold weather is coming.
Well, let me tell you, now, this last week, we were supposed to have had snow, and it didn't show up. I'm disappointed about that. The other morning, they said we would have snow from, like, 6 o'clock in the morning to 11. We were supposed to have had snow, but I never did see any snow.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fog, and it got down to 25 degrees.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
25 degrees.
Yeah, see, that's a little bit too cold.
And I thought it was way too cold.
Yeah, we were supposed to have...
I thought everybody should go in, turn on the fireplace, read a book, and forget it.
Just stay home.
My opinion.
Don't get out of the roads, don't go to work, don't do anything.
Yeah, but my office was calling saying, you know, are you coming in?
And what did you say?
I said, maybe.
Okay. Jury's still out on that one.
The jury was out because it was so cold and so bad. And then someone else said, are you going to Midland today? And I go, I don't think so.
No.
Unless it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Midland office will have to wait a couple of days.
Well, sure, of course. But golly, you know, we start getting into this cold weather. I think January is usually pretty pretty chilly. February is pretty chilly. And then around March, we start to see at least a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So we still have like two and a half months of potentially bad weather.
Well, we're just going to have to, you know, trudge on through it. That's all I can tell you.
Well, we have no choice.
You know, my family has suggested we go to Hawaii. Oh, my gosh. Yes, they said, let's go to Hawaii. Yeah. And I said, I don't think we can go to Hawaii with these little bitty kids.
Yeah.
I do not think we want to be on a plane for 7 hours with, you know, a 3, a 6, and a 7-year-old. Don't think that'll work, folks.
That would be a circus on the airplane.
It would. And I don't know that everybody would like that. It might not be the thing to do. I don't think we want to do that.
Yeah, the other passengers might not look at it the same.
They might not find it as entertaining as I do.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yes, Hawaii, here we come, you know.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing deal.
Wow. All right. Well,
well
for
anyway,
now, then,
we better give out the phone number.
We'll just get down to it. All right, Faye, what is your phone
number? Let's get down to it.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your number is?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And you better give out the internet, our website.
It's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And you got all kinds of information up there. People's money that people have actually made, real figures.
That's right. It tells you what they've made the last 2 years. And you can look and see what the returns are, what the average is, how many were late, how many were on time, and how many were early. It's a great way to do it. I highly recommend that. Then, let's give out the address for a change.
All right.
We're at 3105 Big Spring. That's North Big Spring. the big metropolis part of town, and it's right next to Ivy Cottage.
The metropolis part of town.
That's wow. Right. I want them to know how big it is. And, you know, it's a huge deal, okay?
All right. So we're talking about growing your money so that you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. So what are some of the big highlights from this past week? Any maturities? Any new policies come into bid on?
We did not have any maturities this week. We probably just haven't heard about them because, you know, lately we've had some maturities and we didn't hear about it as soon as we usually do. So, you know, we love to hear about those maturities within 6 or 7 days, 2 weeks at the most. We had one last week that we did not find out for 2 months. And I don't know why, because we check Social Security. We check everything. Every Monday morning we check for maturities. And somehow we didn't get it. And we finally, you know, did see it and have got on it. And these will, you know, be handled very quickly. As you know, we're now going to the county to get our certified death certificates. We're not going to the state. We've speeded that up. And so we should have that shortly. So hopefully those that did mature in about 5 weeks, those should be in their bank accounts.
Well, what's the delay in people letting you know? Are people not filing paperwork on their end?
Sometimes they don't. Now, lots of times we're so glad the customers will call us themselves and say, you know, so-and-so has passed away. We wanted to let you know. I appreciate when they do that. Those are the really good people that do that. Then some of them, they got their money and they don't care.
Yeah.
They just said, you know, Papa's died. Okay, he died. We're not going to tell them.
Yeah.
Because they got a lot of money, you know, at the time, and they feel they're out of it, you know. But you never know which way it'll be. You know, a lot of people are very kind, and they do send us the information, and then some of them don't.
Hmm. Very strange. It is pretty cool, though, that you started to bypass the state and go right to the county. That's expedited things quite a bit, from what I understand.
It has really, really helped because, you know, we had those two that we waited on forever because the state said we're 4 months behind, and we were pulling our hair out. And finally, I figured out a way, you know, when the funeral home said, well, we can get it for you. I knew right then they weren't getting it from the state. You know, I knew they were getting it from the county. And when I found that out, they said, well, we can go right downtown and get it. I thought, if you can do it, we can do it. And that's when I alerted everybody, that's what we're going to do from now on. Let's get it from the county and get it back quickly and pay our people. And that way they get their money a lot faster.
Yeah.
But everything we do is to help people retire, like you said, retire early, to help them retire wealthy, and, you know, where they'll have enough money to carry them 20 years, 25 years. We don't want people, you know, getting out here in retirement and run out of money in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
That would defeat everything you've worked for 40 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's got to be defeating probably just even psychologically to think that you may even have to go back to work at some point. That doesn't give you a chance to relax and enjoy your retirement.
No, it doesn't. So, you know, when you're building up for this retirement, this is what you've spent your lifetime doing. You know, getting ready to retire where you can have fun and travel, spend time with grandchildren, and just do everything you ever wanted to do that you couldn't because you were working 18 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, so, that's one of those things that people wonder all the time. You know, we say that people spend their entire lives getting ready for retirement, and so many people haven't even started to think about it. They're in their mid-40s, they're in their upper 40s, and they haven't even, you know, invested in the first investment. They haven't even given retirement a second thought. They enrolled in their 401k, and that was about it. And so then at that point, you know, they're not really actually engaged, and then they start thinking, man, I'd really like to retire in 10 or 15 years. And so then they think, wow, I haven't done anything. So what do you tell somebody in that kind of a situation? Is it too late?
No, it's never too late unless you're 80 years old. But you have to get on it and say, okay, I need a plan. Let's make a plan. We're going to retire in 10 years, okay? We know what we've got to do. If it's tomorrow, we've got to have enough money to get you started on the retirement picture. So you've got to come, if you're going to retire in the next 2 months, you need to have at least $250,000, $300,000 at the least to start getting you enough interest to keep you going. Because by itself, $300,000 would not last you any time.
Yeah.
It just won't. You know, but if you've got $300,000 and you can keep it rolling it over for the next 10 years, you're going to have enough money. But you're going to have to keep rolling it over, and you can't be taking money out of it for several years. I'd say 4 years at least, maybe five, if you're starting with a small amount like $300,000.
So if somebody has $300,000 and they're thinking, okay, great, I'm set for retirement. Obviously, we know that they're not. But
no.
$300,000, instead of thinking, okay, this is my retirement fund, what you do is you take that $300,000, you invest it in something like a life settlement or something like that, get it growing, and then by the time they do retire, then they will have enough money, right? So it's just a matter of taking those funds and redirecting them to another cause, an investment.
That's exactly right. You've got to keep it going and keep it invested to keep that interest going, because you're going to need, you know, a lot of interest. And if you're making 3%, you know, that's not going to get it. They say you shouldn't even take but 4% out of your retirement every year. And I'm telling you that people are taking more than 4% out of their retirement.
So in other
words, if they were only taking 2% to 3%. Now, I like the situation where somebody comes and says, look, I've got $500,000 or $1 million. What can I do? And then they say, I don't need any money for 4 years. Well, you can really build on that thing if they don't need it for 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a good chance to double their money in 7-8 years. Their money's going to be double, and they'll have plenty of income. So you really need people not to need the money right away, to at least have 3 or 4 years before they start taking money out. That's the best way to do it.
So the more that people can dedicate to just the investment without having to take any out, the more money is in there, the more money that can grow upon its own self and then get to that good place. Whereas if you're taking a little bit out, well, you're kind of firing, I guess, on maybe like 4 or 5 cylinders instead of all 8, right?
That's exactly right. Because, and we hope also that their wife has an IRA or a 401k. This will help a lot if we have two incomes, two 401ks going into the program. It helps a lot. And then we have people that are still working that are going to put maybe $250,000, $300,000 with us, and they're still working, so that's good. They've got another 401k that they're working on. So if you've got two 401ks working for you, you're going to do all right. And we have a lot of people that say, okay, my company says I can take this much out now, the rest later. And some companies say, no, you can't take anything out until you retire or quit. So everybody has a different way. A lot of them say if you've been with us 5 years or 10, yes, you can take part of your 401k or all of it and roll it over. And we find the people that want security, they're going to roll all of it over to us, and then they're going to say, okay, how many policies can we buy? So then we put them in a lot of policies where you've got something coming due all the time.
Just to kind of get a big picture, what kind of a percentage do you think of people that come to you for the first time say, roll everything over, and then how much you think leave a little bit maybe in stocks?
Well, if they're still working, they're going to leave some in stocks, I can tell you. But if they're getting ready to retire, they want to roll all of it over because they don't want to leave it in the stock market. They don't want to take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've got a 401k, you have to take those risks. You usually can't take it out. And the company's matching it, maybe 10%, 20%. A lot of companies have quit matching. They just said, we're not going to do it. You know, you're on your own. And then we've had some that companies have been sold lately, and they say, we're not going to have a 401k program. You need to move your 401k out.
All right. So from a perspective of, you know, making the most money as fast as possible, and considering the landscape right now where some companies, like you say, don't match it, what do you think is the best approach? Keep some in, keep some out, move it all?
Well, if they're young enough, you know, 50 years old, you know, they can take some, put it with us. They've got plenty of time for it to grow. You know, they've got 16 years they can do it with us and leave some in the stock market and see which is going to do better. You know, because we never know. Stock market goes along, then all of a sudden it just has a downturn. And sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. We don't really know. The good thing about this investment, it can't go down. It's a life insurance policy. People say, Faye, how does investment work? we are buying life insurance policies on people that have stage 4 cancer. We give them a lump sum. We help them a lot in their families. So they've got this lump sum, and then this policy now belongs to our people. They invested in it, and when the people pass away and mature, then they get the profit. It's that simple. Our people get the profit of the life insurance policy when the people pass away.
So, and that profit margin comes from the spread of what you buy the policy for and what the actual policy, what it was.
That's right. It's the difference between what we bought it for and what the face amount of the policy is.
Okay.
And that's where your profit is. And we know all this in advance. When we do that so-called page 14, that's now 5 pages from the end, it tells you who the person is, what kind of cancer they've got, how much the face amount of that policy is, like maybe it's $1 million. Tells how much you've invested personally, maybe it's $100,000. It's 24 months, you're going to make 24%. Doesn't matter if it comes in early, you don't make any more, still 24. If it's on time, it's 24. If it's late, it's 24. Doesn't make any difference. So they have to know all that in advance. Then we tell them, if it goes over, here's what it will cost you. Here's what the premiums are. Here's what the percentage is. So they know what they're going to make. They know everything in advance, always.
When you say page 14, this is part of a larger report. What else is in that report? Is there anything that's relevant to the investment itself?
This is their actual contract, is what I'm talking about. Page 14 is in the contract they sign when they buy that policy, okay?
Okay.
And it tells them everything you need to know, especially what you're going to make.
Uh-huh.
You know? So they already know the risk. You know the risk going in. You know what you're going to make. You know that it's a 24-month policy or 18 months, whatever it is. And you know that you get 1% a month according to your contract.
Let's talk about the policy itself, because I know that to make this a profitable investment, you've got to be very, very specific about the policies that you buy. And that's what makes this such a profitable, attractive investment for so many people. And it all comes down to that cornerstone. It's the type of policies you buy. And when you're looking at them, you're looking for, you know, very specific things like the type of cancer, where it is, treatments and things like that. So explain just a little bit about why that is such an important part of the investment is the policy itself.
That's exactly right. Because when we look at these policies that they send over, we're looking for several things. How short is it? You know, we're not going 5 years, we're not going 6, and we're not going if they're elderly. You know, we've done it with elderly. We know how bad that can get. They're not sick, they're just old, bless their hearts. So our cutoff is 74. You can be as young as possible and have cancer. It doesn't matter. We're just not taking cancer patients to buy if they're over 74. So then we look and see what kind of treatments have they had, when did the cancer start, and where has it spread. When we see it spread everywhere, we know that they're not going to last long. And like the ones we had a week ago, you know, the Steinberg policy. You know, he didn't last long at all. And when you know that it's spread, if it's pancreatic cancer, we know that's usually 9 months unless they were able to operate. If it's operable, you've got a couple of years. But the other ones you don't have. If you've got stomach cancer, you know, you're not going to survive it, I can tell you. And then we do a lot of breast cancer. As I said last week, we went back and did a study. We've had 3 breast cancers go over. The rest have all come in early. And breast cancer, when it spreads to your ribs, your liver, all these other places, you're not going to make it. And if it's in the lymph nodes, when they check you for cancer, they open up the lymph nodes under your arms and check it to see how many lymphs. If it's in your lymph nodes, it's a bad deal. If it's not in the lymph nodes, you've got a pretty good chance if it's caught early enough. But if it's stage 4 and it's in 4 or 5 lymph nodes, it'll spread to the other lymph nodes through your blood and you don't have a chance. So we're looking at that when we read. How many lymph nodes is it in? What kind of pain medicine are you? If your pain is at level 10, we know it's really, really bad. If it says no progression, we're not buying it. That means you're not sick. It means you had cancer, but it's not going anywhere. It's not moving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's not metastatic, then we're probably not going to touch it.
So it seems like one of these investments that has so many layers of very, very defined, very specific, requirements before you even, you know, think about bidding on it. It's not that you're just bidding on any old, you know, and I don't mean to, you know, generalize like this, but you're not bidding on any old stage four cancer. You're looking at, you know, to make sure that there's other factors. You don't just take the fact that it's stage four as surface value. And so that's got to be pretty comforting to people as well, knowing that there's so many different layers and so many tiers of requirements before you'll even bid on it. That's got to be attractive.
Well, and another thing, it depends who we get it. And there's a couple of companies, I tell them, please don't give me an LA from those companies. They're young, they're new, and they're not good like these others. AVS, 21st, and Fasano. These people know their business. They've been in business for years and years. They know cancer. They've studied it. And you can rely on their, on what they say. You know, when we read it, and it's from those three, we believe them. They may be off a little bit, but usually they're, you know, pretty close to target. Fasano, it always gives you several months extra. I don't know why. But a Fasano, you can always figure it's going to be more than what's really going to happen. They're going to come in several months under what Fasano says.
Hmm.
They're just conservative, and they've been in business a long time. 21st Service, they've gotten where they're very good. And we went back and did a study on that also. Now, which companies are coming due the best? You know, who's having the most maturities? And it's 21st, Fasano, and AVS. Those you can rely on. So that's who we want to get them from if we can.
Sometimes
when I get them from the other companies, I just say, there's not any information here. I don't know what you're talking about. You've got to go get me either Fasano, 21st, or AVS.
Yeah,
and that's what we try to do. And, you know, it depends, you know, which kind of cancer it is, but it also depends what kind of treatment they're taking. If they've been in Mexico, I'm going to buy the policy, no doubt about it. You know, if they've been to Mexico for treatment and they've had the orange juice and the oil treatment, all this other, it has been spreading all the time they were there. And people always come back and ask the doctor, I'm in really bad shape now. What can you do? And lots of times they'll say, you know, there's no use for me to treat you. You've waited too long. Then others will start chemo. They'll start radiation. But it's usually too late if you've been to Mexico.
Because that whole time,
I don't recommend that.
Where people would have normally been kind of getting ahead of it, they've let that entire time lapse, knowing that they have had something, you know, as severe as stage four cancer, and the whole time it's just basically gone with no treatment, just gotten worse.
It has gotten worse because they just ignored what our doctor said, and then we've had people also. The doctor will say, look, I think we can do this and this, and they reject the treatment. I don't understand that. Now, we've had several people that we've bid on lately that they're alcoholics. They're on drugs. And these are, you know, one was a real estate guy. And, you know, you've got cancer. You need to be off drugs. You need to be off alcohol because they don't want to treat you if you've got that. They know that all this treatment in the world isn't going to help because if you mix alcohol with drugs, it just doesn't help. You know, the chemo is not going to do any good.
Yeah, it's almost like the substances weaken the treatment.
It does, and then we have people say, "Oh, we've quit," and then we read a little farther, and they've already relapsed. You know,
man.
I mean, there's no doubt that they're an alcoholic, and it's hard for them to get any treatment to doing good if they're on all this other junk they shouldn't be on.
So in a policy. When a policy comes in and you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, let's see if there's enough profit here. You know, you've determined that the policy itself is good. How do you, how do you weigh, you know, say somebody comes in with $1 million policy. How do you determine what you're going to bid for that policy and still
You've got to give the clients, you've got to make sure that they can get that 1% a month. You've got to figure that in. You've got to figure our commission. And then you've got to figure the escrow for premiums. And once you meet all that, you know what you can pay for the policy.
All right.
Because if it's a 24-month policy, we're probably going to escrow for 34 months.
just in case it goes over.
Yes, that's right. We've been trying to escrow extra months. Now, the other thing we look at is if the premium is high. We're not going to do it. You know, we've gotten caught in that a couple of times where the premium was really high, and we don't want to do that. If it's 3% or less, we'll bid it. If it's more than 3%, we can't do it.
Okay. So you start out with, I guess, somewhat of a formula, and then you kind of tweak each one. It's not like
that's right. We have a formula for all of this. We've got all kinds of computer programs that helps do this, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've developed some programs that will help.
Geez, I didn't know that. That sounds awfully fancy, awful high tech.
Well, you need it because if you've got a deal that says, okay, if this circumstance is this way, what can we do? And you put it in there and it'll tell you.
All right.
So all that's real important to have all that.
And so if a policy doesn't meet any of these things, you don't even bid on it. Because I think it's important for people to know that you don't just automatically bid on anything that comes across your desk.
No, what we simply do is send it back.
Okay.
We just send it back and say, thank you, but we're not going to be bidding on this.
Do people ever come to you and say, well, Faye, you know, if you send policies back, which is a good thing, you know, because you're watching out for people's profit margin, but if you send people policies back, are there enough other ones in the wings?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we bid policies every week. We've just bid another 3 or 4 million this week. And so those will be coming in. Uh-huh. And, of course, you know, it takes time for them to accept it because lots of times either in the hospital and getting out and we have to wait, or maybe the broker's telling them, oh, you don't want to accept that bid, I'll get you more. And on Steinberg, this is a typical case. You know, we did the one Steinberg in 18. He had two policies, and they wouldn't let us have the other policy. They go, oh, no, we don't want to sell you that other policy. And you know what? They didn't sell it, and then it comes back to us. We did the first one, as you know, in October of 18. And then, this year, the other policy came right around the bend, and we bought it. And, you know, he could have had both of his money. The last one was April the 9th of this year.
Hmm.
And then, of course, as you know, he passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a progressive, as you know, lymph node leukemia, and it spread to the neck.
Mm.
And he was 62 years old.
Wow, that's young.
Very young. We do a lot of people that are younger than that. On breast cancer, the average age is 44 on those women that we do breast cancer on.
Wow, that's really young.
It is really young. And, you know, if they catch it early, they've got a good chance. But if they don't, and they do this screwy stuff in Mexico, they do not have a chance. It's just that simple.
So I would imagine probably one of the big questions that people come in and they ask you right off the bat might be something to the effect, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know these people, but how much money can people make and how fast? Is that one of the big questions?
No, they don't ask how fast. They said, what's my profit? What can I make? How does it work? You know, how long will it be before I get the first deal? And I say, if we've got some ready, we'll put you in policies the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, wow, that's
and
fast.
So, yeah, they want to know how soon they can get in a policy. That's the first thing. And as soon as we get them in policy, I've got some people get real antsy. You know, they give us $300,000, they think they'll get all of it done next week, and it doesn't happen that way. We have to get the contracts in from the other people, and then they're ready to go. So sometimes we know we've got the policy, we just don't have all the documents in hand. So we'll say, okay, we're going to put you in this policy. This one we can fund today. The other one, it'll be a couple, 3 weeks. And we do it that way. And then sometimes we say, we've got enough, we'll just fund it now.
Hmm.
And it depends on what is ready and what isn't. So we're working on every angle of it every day. You know, we're getting the contracts in. We're getting the bids in. Sometimes we don't know the bids for 45 days because they're out shopping that thing. I guarantee the broker is shopping it, trying to get a better deal. But we pay more than most people for these policies. And what people don't know, some of these other companies that buy policies sell it to us.
Really?
Yeah. They're out here buying policies. They're on television. They're everywhere. But when it comes down to it, they sell it back to us.
You know, we see these people on TV all the time, and they're saying, sell us your life insurance policy, and they're not really overly specific. So when you buy it back, you're only looking for those stage four cancers, and that's where all the profit lies.
That's right. And they buy lots of policies. But the ones that we buy from, of course, has to be cancer. So it's a specialized field. A lot of people just buy policies. You know, they just buy policies at a discount, especially on seniors. A lot of people do seniors, and there's a great risk in that, I think, great risk. As you know, we've already been through that risk. There's great risk because they may live to be 97.
Yeah.
We've got one now that's 95 we're waiting on patiently. We know that this person cannot get up. They're in bed. Everything's gone to heck on, but they are not dead, let me assure you.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
And when we hear about that, I mean, we'll, you know, have a bonfire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long deal. And we were sold some of those, and we've got three left. When those three are gone, then it'll be clear sailing forever.
Yeah, yeah. No more elderly policies, just strictly
Never.
Stage four.
That's right. And we only do stage four. Now, a lot of people will take them if it's stage two and take the gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to gamble. We need stage four that we know is going to mature.
And this is because people like the shorter policies, the quicker turnaround, so they can get reinvested?
Yes. Our people want short term. Because lots of times I've said, you know, here's a policy, it's a little longer. And some will say, no, I don't want to go in that one. You know, I want a 15-month or I want a 9-month.
Okay.
So, and then we have a group that invests in every time there's a call. They are there. They put money in. They make money. And I got to look at the last three maturities. They were in all of those.
Really?
And that tells me something. The ones that invest regularly all the time, they're the ones that have policies come and due all the time.
Mm.
Because they're up and they invest and turn it around again and again and again.
What's the biggest advantage of having shorter term policies?
I don't think there is advantage. I think to them is they can reinvest quicker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, I think that's their goal. How many policies can I invest in? How quick can I do this? I think that's their goal.
Okay. So it gets that money rolling even faster.
Yes, and that's what they want.
Okay. Cool. Well, we'll get into some of the risks in this type of investment. We'll also get into the big picture about how a life settlement can help get people ready for the big picture for retirement. That's coming up here in just a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 8588. Boy, this is bad this morning. 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, where people can go and see case studies from past investments, see exactly what investors have made, read testimonials, and all that. And those are all real numbers, so people can kind of get an idea of what they could make before they even come in to talk to you. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. What do you want to talk about this morning?
I want to talk about toys now and then.
Oh.
Long time ago, medium time ago, and today. What are your top toys since it's getting close to Christmas? Let's go back, start with the 1980s. What do you think was one of the top toys for the 1980s?
I'm going to say probably a Nintendo.
It was Rubik's Cube.
Was it really?
Rubik's Cube. In the 1970s, and I never heard of this one, they say it was a top contender. It was called Light Bright. It was a game.
I remember the Light Bright.
You do? I don't remember the Light Bright.
Yes, it was a little plastic thing that stood upright, and you'd plug it in, and there's little tiny bulbs in the back of it, and you would take a black piece of paper that had, like, dots
on it,
and you would plug in these little light bulb things, or little glass things, into these marked patterns, and you would have a shape or some kind of a picture or something that would be the end result. I remember that.
I'll be dadgum. I did not remember. 1960, let's go all the way back. What do you think was the top toy for 1960?
Probably a toy John Deere tractor.
It was an Etch-A-Sketch.
I remember the Etch-A-Sketch.
You remember those?
Yes.
Etch-A-Sketch, my gosh. I would not have remembered that it was the top toy, you know, for back then.
Yes.
I just didn't remember that those were top toys, you know, way back.
I was terrible at the Etch-A-Sketch, but I know that there are, like, competition and tournaments and things where people create art on the Etch-A-Sketch, and they can win prizes and, I think, a lot of money, too.
Okay, 1990s. One of the top ones?
I don't know, some kind of video game?
Game Boy.
Ah!
And the Xbox.
Xbox, yes.
Oh, man. And another one. Now, this one I knew well. The Furby.
Remember
the little Furby?
Yeah.
With those crazy eyes and all that?
Yeah.
And he was scary looking. Had the little beady eyes.
Yeah, and they would turn their heads, I think.
Yeah, and some people thought he was evil. He was a cute little thing. and one of them, and I don't remember this toys. Now, you may remember it. It's called Tamagotchi.
I don't
remember that one.
No.
It said it was one of the very best toys from the 90s.
Really?
It looked almost like an Etch-A-Sketch to me.
Huh.
Rollerblades was big.
Oh, yes.
Rollerblades, very big back then.
I didn't do a whole lot of rollerblading, mostly because I don't have good balance.
Okay. Now, this one, everybody will remember. The Little Tykes Cozy Coop. Remember that crazy dadgum thing? They'd run it up and down the sidewalk and pedal like heck. Oh, my gosh.
I remember the Little Tykes.
I remember that well because you couldn't get rid of it. The little kids liked it, and they just wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
The other one was the Bop It. Do you remember the Bop It?
It doesn't sound familiar.
It was for little kids that were learning to walk, and it says everybody had one, and I never saw it. It was a little bop deal that you could use.
Hmm.
And as I said, I don't remember it. The Baby Born, do you remember that one?
I do.
That little kid, that baby, and he looked real, and everybody would get it and practice on this dadgum doll. And it was popular for a long time. I mean, it's crazy. I remember that. The Swing Ball, remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Okay,
one.
It was a swing ball. And it was on a little... like a little stand-up deal. And the ball was attached on a little cord, and you had to hit the ball and hit the thing.
Huh.
And I never bought those. I don't even remember it. Connect Four, do you remember that game?
Loved Connect Four, yes.
My word, I didn't remember that. The Connect Four.
Yeah, it was like
upright
checkers.
And that was very popular. And the Slinky. That was one of the biggest ones, grossing a huge, huge amount of money.
Yes. Slinkies were fun at the beginning when you just open them, and for about 5 or 10 minutes, it was great. And then after that, it's like, I can't do this anymore. It just doesn't, that's it. That's
it doesn't even
thing.
Work. Yeah, I've had a lot of people tell me that when you first get it out of the box, it'll move and it'll do like you want. But after a little bit, then it won't.
Yeah.
So that took all the fun out of it. Now then... The things that, for nowadays, that people think are the greatest, the Skyrocket Bloom dolls.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's a crazy-looking doll, I can tell you that. Okay. Disney Toy Store. Toy Story. Walking Buzz Lightyears.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that now.
Okay, I don't remember that. Some of this stuff they must not had at the store when I was there. The Kindle Kid Snack Time Friends doll. It had the little snack doll, and there was four of them.
Huh.
And, yeah, and that was real popular.
I'm not placing
that. So there's
that
a lot of things the cute Tito's mystery stuffed animal. Do you remember that one?
I don't, no.
Now, I don't think they had them here in Texas, I'll tell you, because I don't remember it. The other one was a Barbie Dream Plane playset. I remember this. This is very popular. And did you know Barbie has kind of been pushed back, and this year they're trying to sell the Barbie. It's a camper, a big camper. Then they're trying to sell the Barbie ambulance. That's how far we've come.
Really?
An ambulance, yes.
Didn't know they had a Barbie ambulance.
Yeah, but you know what the most popular toy today is for kids?
What?
Legos. Everybody wants Legos.
Seriously?
My grandchildren made me a list, and what do you think it was? Most of it was Legos.
Really?
Everything was Legos. Every kind of thing in the world was Legos. You know, they make Lego everything. Roller coasters, they make planes, they make helicopters. Everything is Legos now.
Hmm. I would have figured probably one of the top things now would be, you know, some kind of a video something or something that does something for people, not something that where you use your imagination like that.
Okay, and llamas. You know, llamas is so big this year. I mean, it is big. And, of course, you know, mine are all live, but I keep laughing. It's called Pets Alive Bumpy, the booty-shaking llama.
Never thought I'd hear Faye Bagby talk about a booty-shaking llama.
That's right, a booty-shaking llama. I don't know what to think. And I think it's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But when you go in the stores, everything has got llamas. There's llama sweaters. There's llama slippers. There's everything llama. It's caught on, and people are just crazy. Do you remember the Linkimals from last year?
It sounds familiar, but I can't picture it in my head.
Okay, do you remember it was a ball, and you had to keep it warm, and then it burst out, and there's this little animal inside.
Yes. Okay, now
that was
familiar.
So popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's still popular this year. It just looks a little different than it did last year. It's just amazing. And now they've got the Leapfrog Smart Sizzling Barbecue for little kids.
Really?
A little barbecue maker for toddlers.
Cool.
I mean, there's not anything you can't buy. I mean, and Baby Shark. You know, the Baby Shark was popular last year. It's even more popular. And it's a dancing baby shark, folks.
Really? How cool. Does it play the song?
I can't even believe the barbecue set and all this other. But everything that I've seen is about Legos. And Legos makes 50 million kinds. They have an amusement pier. They have a camper van. They have a shopping mall.
Really?
They have an airport. There's not anything that you can't get if you want Legos.
Man, I used to love Legos, but some of the things we had to, you know, I guess use our own imagination to build something. I didn't realize that they had malls and all these things now.
Oh, yeah. And last year we bought Legos at cars. And the little cars, you know, you can take them apart or put them back together. But the cars are magnificent made in Legos.
Wow.
So it's, oh, yeah, everything is Legos this year. So if everybody wants to get their kids or their grandchildren something, think about the Legos. You can order them on Amazon. I mean, it's amazing. You know, Amazon has got everything you ever thought about and things you have never thought about.
Things you didn't know you needed.
You didn't even know you needed all this till you get on Amazon. And, of course, you need it.
Yeah. Wow.
It's an amazing world we live in, let me tell you. And it's kind of like this kid over across the pond. You know, he's 9 years old. He's been going to college. He's withdrawn from college because they won't let him graduate before he's 10. Now, that's where we are, folks. When you're that smart and they won't let you graduate before 10 years old.
Oh, that's what a ripoff.
That is a ripoff. He's been going to college. He's ready to graduate. They said, oh, no, we could not possibly let you graduate before 10 years old.
Oh, man.
The little boy is a genius.
Clearly.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine?
No. I would imagine people that smart have trouble tying their own shoes.
Imagine, because they don't fit in anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, several years ago, we had the two boys in Fort Worth that were geniuses. And the mother took them over to the college there. TCU to have them tested. They tested them and said, we'll take them right now.
Wow.
I mean, they're like 10 and maybe 12. I mean, they're real young boys. And she said, well, I don't know. They said, we'll put them in rooms. They can go to school here. We'll give you an apartment. We want them. These boys are brilliant.
Wow.
And here they are studying in college, and they never went to grade school or medium school even.
Goodness gracious.
They're that smart.
I couldn't even imagine being that smart.
I wonder how often geniuses come along.
That's a good question.
I'll have to look that up. I mean, you know, how often do we see these kid geniuses, you know?
Yeah, not very often, I would think.
No, and I don't mean the parents know what to do with them. What do you do with a kid that's that brilliant?
I don't know. It's almost like the parents, I would think, go from the parents to the student at that point.
You do, because the kids are so smart, and they're smarter than you many, many times over, you know?
Yeah, which is different than many of us thinking we're smarter than our parents.
yeah, everybody thinks they are, but you find some of these kids really are, but I don't know how often it happens that they're really this brilliant. And I think they always go into science and things like that because the world needs them because they're so brilliant.
Yeah.
They're not going to go out there and go into real estate or, you know, finances, I can tell you.
No. Either sometimes they also go into the medical field besides science.
Yes, they do.
Research and things like that.
Yeah, they always go into research of some type because of their brilliance.
Yeah.
Can you imagine they're working there with adults?
I could not imagine being an adult person and then having to be right next to a 10-year-old who's like light years ahead of us.
That's exactly right. And over in Fort Worth, they interviewed some of the people, and the college kid says it's really fun having them, you know, in our dorm. You know, said these two little kids can outthink us every moment of the day.
Wow.
And I mean, if they need homework help, they go to these two little kids and they'll help them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Of course, if the kids are smart,
and they'll probably graduate. They'll graduate from college probably in a year. It probably won't take them about a year to graduate.
Yeah, you're
all
probably
4 years.
Wow, couldn't even imagine. What do you get somebody like that for Christmas? You know, one of those genius kids. What do you get them?
I don't know what you would get somebody. They'd probably like to go out in the woods or do something. Like a normal kid.
Yeah.
Reckon?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never even known one.
I've never known a genius of any kind.
Uh-uh. In fact, most of the people I know are pretty dumb.
I hope nobody heard you say that. you will not live that down.
No, no, I'll be running out of town.
You're going to have to leave town after that remark. Knowing people that are dumb. My people are all brilliant. They're brilliant. I'm telling you, they're brilliant.
Well, you know how to keep friends then, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working on it every day. You know, you got to work on it. It's not something you can just lay aside, okay?
Yeah.
And I did have calls this week. People interested in policies. The gentleman had a hearing aid on, and he was having trouble hearing me. So I'm going to definitely have to meet with him in person because his hearing aid was giving him fits.
Yeah.
But then I had people calling wanting me to buy their policy direct. Now, what do you think about that?
What do you think about that?
I think it could be wonderful.
Ah.
And we'll know later. He has to fill out paperwork. He has to fill out all the information. But he does have a terminal illness, but I don't know, the circumstances yet, if it'll be right for us our investors.
I know I'm not completely up to speed with it, but I know we talked about it a couple of times in the recent past. You have recently started buying, you're going to have to correct me on this, but you've recently started buying the policies
direct without having to go through the brokerage houses.
Which cuts out the middleman.
But this didn't even come from that. One of our clients told him about us.
Really?
One of our clients told him, you need to call Faye at American Financial. He called. And the bad thing is, I never even saw his email till yesterday. He called a week ago.
Really?
And something happened. Something went wrong. And it can happen, as you know. Everybody thought I had the message. Everybody thought I'd talked to the man. And I talked to him yesterday for the first time.
Huh.
And so anyway, he's filling out information where we can, you know, look at and see what we can do for him.
Is that one of these things that helps maybe increase profit margin, or is it just...
Oh, it will, yes, yes. It will definitely do that. This is what we've been wanting to do.
Okay.
Is to, you know, go bypass all the brokers and go direct to people, which would really help.
I would say it also probably speeds up the time frame too, right?
It would, yes. Instead of that 60 to 90 days, lots of times we go, this would be a lot faster if we can make that happen.
Okay. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. I want to throw that in there so that people know where to go, so that if they want to do a little bit of recon, I guess, a little research before they come talk to you, see profits that people have actually made in the last couple of years. You have all that information posted. So how does this whole process, I know we've been hyper-focused on the actual policies themselves, how does the whole thing work in the bigger picture to get people ready for retirement?
Well, overall, you know, you've got to get them some interest that they can live with. You've got to get them some pretty good interest. And I think this interest that we pay is a good amount. I see all these advertised amounts, but ours is real, and they make it every day with us. So I think that's the whole key to it, is the interest amount they're getting. You know, it's going to double, you know, in 7 or 8 years. But you have to have several policies. You can't do this with one policy. It'd take a long, long time if you only had one policy. So we always tell them you need several. You need 5 or 6 policies, you know, when you come into this. And then we need to know what your goals are. How fast do we have to get you to retirement? Do we have a long time or do we have a short time?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll depend whether we're going to put them in shorter policies or longer policies.
Yeah, just depend. That's how you come up with a strategy that maybe either be more aggressive or a little less aggressive, whatever people, you know, whatever the goals are and how to get them there.
That's exactly right. And then remember this, you must be accredited. You cannot do this if you're not accredited. You've got to either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. And the way to tell that is you add up your assets. If you've got a farm, that counts. A ranch, horses, cattle, all that counts as assets. If you have rental property, that counts. If you own a business, that counts. If you've got an IRA, a 401k, and savings, all that counts. You have to add up everything you've got to see if you can qualify. If you do, you can invest. Minimum investment is $100,000.
And if you don't, if you're not accredited,
then you can go to and do an annuity. Annuity's been around a long time, over 100 years. They're safe. Your principal is always guaranteed. When you make interest, it's locked in. I was talking to a guy yesterday. I couldn't make him understand. He thought all these things. It's not true. When you're in an index annuity, it pays like it's in the stock market. When stocks go up, this goes up. It locks the interest in, and it can't go back down like a stock does. So if you're in an index annuity, whatever you make, it locks in, and it never goes away. They can't ever take that profit away. So at the end of the term, you can take all the money out. After the first year, if you want to take monthly income, you can do that. So there's all kinds of things you can do in an annuity.
So doesn't matter really where anybody is, they need to get the ball rolling. They need to get started. And so if people are not accredited, maybe start an annuity and then build up, and then if they want to switch over to a life settlement, would that make sense?
Absolutely. If you can get from where you are now to accredited, sure, a life settlement would be great for you. And, you know, a life settlement is going to make 1% a month. If it's 12 months, you get paid 12%. That's always the thing to think about.
Okay. So it's a fairly safe, relatively speaking, investment. People know what they're going to make ahead of time. It's just a matter of wait for the policy to mature. So set it and forget it. And it all sounds really wonderful. One thing that we need to point out is that whatever happens on the stock market, it doesn't affect a life settlement at all. It's its own separate thing, which is another layer of, I guess, attractiveness to the investment, right?
Well, and an annuity is the same way. You can take both of these are not affected by the stock market. Neither one are directly in the stock market. An annuity is never directly in the stock market. It's in a life insurance policy. You know, it's an annuity policy, so that's what makes it safe. This, you own a piece of a life insurance policy. That's what makes it safe. The other safety features in this is it's handled by Nevada Trust. We don't handle the money, never. So Nevada Trust, they pay the premiums. They escrow premium for every policy to make sure you're covered, where you're safe. Then the other thing is when the policy matures, Nevada Trust gets the money, it comes to them, and then they put it in your account.
Okay.
So we don't touch the money on the front or the back or in between.
Another attractive benefit of a life settlement. So with as wonderful as it is, there are three risks that we always have to cover. People have to know these as they go in. And so what is the first major risk of a life settlement?
The first major risk, and this is the greatest risk, is your policy could go over. They have went over in the past. They'll go over in the future. If a policy goes over, you have to pay the premium. We've escrowed for like 30 months on a 25, or if it's 24, we've escrowed an extra 12. So if you have to pay premium, it could run $50 or it could be up to $1,000. So you have to know this going in, and we always tell people in advance what it's going to do. So they know all this going in, that they may have to pay premium. It could happen, but they are credited, so it would not hurt them. They've got the money. So we're not talking about somebody, it's their last dollar, okay?
All right.
So then the second risk is during the time it's in the policy, it is not liquid, okay? It is not liquid until it matures, and everybody knows that. So that's a risk. Then the third one is if a life insurance company ever went under, and we've never had one in Texas not pay, and then life insurance companies are so large, even the ones that have problems, if they ever have one, somebody will buy that policy because of the premium income is so great.
Okay. So people know that the money is going to be there when the policy matures, and they don't really have to worry about not getting paid. It's just really, I guess the biggest things from what it sounds like is just waiting and being patient until the policy matures. I know on Wall Street, a lot of people who are in stocks are up in the middle of the night. They're anxious. They're worried, you know, that their whole portfolio has blown up in their face, have lost everything. People don't have to worry about that with the life settlement, right?
No, they don't. You sit back and just wait for it to mature. And the other thing is, let's say you've got a couple that go over. Don't have a panic attack. A guy called this week. He was all in a panic because he didn't have the new life expectancy. Let me tell you something. It takes 2 months to get a life expectancy. So if you have a policy that goes over, we order it immediately as soon as it goes over. So if it goes over, we order that life expectancy, and we wait for them to get all the medical records, current medical records, and see what it says. If it's going to be an extra 6 months or 12 months, whatever it is. And we had one the other day. We're showing a lot of months. And I said, there's something wrong. This can't be right. And you know what? We went back. We said, let's look and see what doctors he's been to in the last 12 months. We did, and they said he isn't going to last but 24 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we find out lots of times it can be incorrect. They might not have all the information. They may not have the new doctors, you know, whatever it is. And we get that information.
Okay. All right.
So it does take 2 months, and everybody should just be patient.
And people can always come to you for more information. They can contact you if they have any questions and things like that. But the point is to get started. So I assume you have some availability for appointments this coming week, right?
That's right. We will be working hard. We will be putting people in policies, all kinds of things this week.
Perfect. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call and get started?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right in the north part of the metropolis.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.